Good morning, church family. Let's begin our time in prayer. Our Lord, we are so grateful to be here this morning. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful people that are in this auditorium. Lord, I pray that you would give them your grace and your peace. I pray, Lord, that you would help them as they go through life, Lord, with all of their responsibilities, that you would give them the strength that they need. Lord, would you comfort those who are grieving? Would you give wisdom to those who need it? Lord, many of us are struggling with fear today. There's so much happening in the world, and it can press down upon anyone, Lord. I pray that you would use today's text to increase our faith so that our fears might subside. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do that work within us. Lord, I pray that you would be honored by the time that we spend in your word together. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the whole world does seem to be suffering from a collective panic attack at the moment. Part of that is due to the spread of the coronavirus, but there are a lot of other things as well. There are fears about the instability of the stock market. There are fears about a global recession, fears about rogue nations around the world, about the proliferation of nuclear weapons. There are fears about the so-called climate crisis and about international terrorism, and on the list goes. And the reason why people fear these things is because they fear the loss of what they value, namely their wealth or their health or perhaps their very lives. Many Christians are susceptible to these fears as well. But today we are in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. And we're going to see how a firm faith can be an antidote to the fears that plague us. Today we're looking at the example of Moses. Now, Moses was born in Egypt around the year 1500 BC. And from the moment of his birth, his life was in peril. You see, a few generations earlier, the Jewish people had escaped from a famine in the Promised Land and had settled in Egypt. And at that time, the Pharaoh of Egypt had welcomed the Jews into his territory. And there they made their lives and they prospered. But then time began to pass and the number of the Jews in Egypt began to multiply. And then a new Pharaoh took power. And he was threatened by the Jewish presence. He saw their increasing numbers as a threat to his rule. And so this new Pharaoh began to curtail the Jews' freedoms. Slowly and gradually over a period of time, their lives were restricted. Until finally, this Pharaoh subjected the entire Jewish race to slavery. So now in Egypt, we had a race-based, lifelong system of slavery that none of the Jews could escape from. Even with these steps taken, though, the number of Jews continued to increase in the land. And so this Pharaoh took another step. He issued a decree that every baby boy should be killed the moment he is born. This was his plan for reducing the Jewish threat. Now, many Jewish parents went along with this decree. Now, how could that be, you ask? How could a person take the life of their own offspring? Well, the answer is fear. Fear for their own lives led them to commit atrocities against their own children. But Moses' parents were different. These were people of faith. They believed in the true and living God. Their lives were hidden with God. And so they would not obey this disgusting edict. In fact, it says in verse 23 that they were people of faith and therefore were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, if you did not carry out the Pharaoh's wishes, your life could be forfeited. They understood that. But even so, they were not afraid. Faith conquered the threats against their lives. So instead of killing their son, verse 23 says, they hid him for 3 months. They kept him safe. They understood the threats, but they didn't let their concern about those threats govern their lives. They allowed their lives to be governed by what they knew was right. In fact, the text gives us another explanation for their actions. Well, it says by faith they were not afraid, so they didn't kill their son. But then it also says they saw that their child was beautiful. They saw he was beautiful. Now, this is not referring to Moses' physical beauty. I'm sure he was a beautiful baby. Rather, this is referring to the special plan and purpose that God had for their son. This is made clear to us in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, which says that Moses was beautiful in God's sight. In other words, God had a very special plan for this baby Moses. In fact, God was going to use Moses to rescue all of the Jewish people from their slavery in Egypt. He was going to make of Moses a prophet who would confront the Pharaoh and lead the Jewish people back into the promised land. He was going to use Moses to help establish them there in the land and through them to send the Messiah. And somehow, and in some way, Moses' parents knew that God had this special plan for their child. I don't know if God had revealed it to them directly in some way, or if another messenger of God had delivered this message. I don't know if it was just a God-given intuition that they had. Whatever it was, they understood that their child was a special child, that God had a purpose for this child that was very great. And so in the Pharaoh of Egypt gave his decree and said every parent must kill their male child, this family said no. They said, God has a purpose for this child, and we will not stop God's plans. And it might mean that we have to sacrifice our own lives, but we know by faith our child will live because of God's plans for him. So by faith, they suppressed their anxiety. They hid their child for 3 months. And then the next verse says, and by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, there is a lot of history covered in that one verse. You see, after hiding baby Moses for 3 months, Moses' parents put him in a small raft and they set him off in the Nile River. Now, that was another great act of faith. See, they believed that God had a plan for this child, therefore God would protect their child. So they sent their child off. They couldn't hide him forever. And in a remarkable turn of God's providence, that baby's raft landed on the shore where the Pharaoh's own daughter used to go to bathe. And she's the one who discovered him there. She plucked him out of the water. In fact, that's how Moses got his name. The name Moses means to draw one out. In this case, of water. The daughter of Pharaoh adopted Moses as her own son. But she also realized that she was going to need a wet nurse because this baby was still very young. And so she sent her servant out among the Jewish women to look for someone who could nurse this baby. And in another amazing turn of God's providence, the servant found Moses' biological mom, brought her into Pharaoh's court, and she became Moses' nurse. So now a child that the Pharaoh had declared must die was being raised in Pharaoh's own household. And his mother was there with him as his nurse. And so from his mother, he received all of the instruction he needed about the living and true God. And from the Egyptians, he learned the best of their learning. He became educated in all of the ways of the Egyptians. And in his early life, he enjoyed the lap of luxury. He lived in the palace of the Pharaoh. Perhaps he had a pathway to great power himself. He had all the best food, all the best clothing. He had everything that you could imagine. But then one day in early adulthood, Moses was walking out among the people, and he saw the Jewish slaves, his own kinsmen, and one of them was being brutally beaten by an Egyptian taskmaster. And when Moses saw this, he was confronted with a choice. He could turn his eyes away, continue identifying with the Egyptian overlords, and maintain his wealth and his power and his prestige and his comfort and all of that. He could take that route. Or he could choose to intervene. He could side with the Jewish slave, could protect that slave's life, but at the same time, it would mean turning his back on all that Egypt had to offer. Well, Moses made his choice. He intervened. He saved that Jewish slave's life. It forced him to take the life of the man beating the slave. And through a series of events, Moses was forced to run into the wilderness, to become a fugitive. He lost everything that he had in Egypt. He became a shepherd in the wilderness. But while he was a shepherd, the Lord of heaven came to Moses. You know the famous episode of the burning bush? That's where God spoke to Moses. God called Moses to be a prophet. And he charged Moses with the task of going back into Egypt, back to the Pharaoh himself, a man that Moses would have known like a grandfather, to go back to that man and to say to him, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." That was the task Moses was given. Once more, he was confronted with a difficult choice. Does he keep himself safe as a fugitive shepherd? Or does he obey God's commission? And does he march into the very courtyard of the most powerful man in the world and challenge him to release the slaves? Well, our verse says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter," meaning he forsook all that he had living in her home. And then it says next, "choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." So Moses made his choice. Even though it could cost him his life, even though it would certainly cost him any chance of reconciliation with the powers of Egypt, he was going to take on this great task. And it was because of his faith, the text says. He really believed in God. He knew that he belonged to God, and that God belonged to him, and that God had a task for him to do. And the only true value that Moses had was God himself and being obedient to the task that God had given to him. And so he went. He decided to spend the rest of his life among a ragtag group of slaves. First, pulling them out of Egypt, and then wandering with them through the desert for 4 decades, and then finally reaching the edge of the promised land. Look at verse 26. An additional insight into the thought process going on inside of Moses. It says, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. That's a fascinating verse, isn't it? Because Christ was not coming into the world for another 1,500 years. But you know, friends, the Old Testament saints knew far more about Christ than we give them credit for. Moses knew about the promise that God had made to our first parents, Adam and Eve, there in the Garden of Eden. He knew how God had promised them right after they had plunged the world under the curse of sin and death, that God would raise up a man one day to reverse the effects of sin's curse. He knew that a Messiah was coming. He knew about God's promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Moses knew God's promises to him. He knew that through the Jewish people, which God would use him to rescue, this Messiah would one day come, that he would save the Jewish people from their sins and save all the world as well. Moses knew a great deal about Christ. And it says in this verse that he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. In other words, he found it more valuable to identify with the Messiah, okay, to take on the burden of caring for the chosen people, to endure whatever mistreatment that they would endure, to throw in his lot with them. He saw the reproach of Christ, having a ministry like Christ and having a ministry that would lead to the coming of the Christ. He saw that as of greater value than of keeping his comfortable life in Egypt, where he would never have any troubles, have all the money he ever needed, all the food, all the great clothing he would ever need. He found those things worthless compared to identifying himself with Christ and the mission of Christ and the people of Christ. Moses was a man of faith. He had his share of fears. Okay? He feared for his own life. He feared confronting the Pharaoh. He was concerned about his speech impediment. There were many things that concerned Moses. But because he was also a man of faith, his life was not controlled by his fears. Rather, his life was controlled by his confidence in God and in the ways that God had promised to use him. And so this is what Moses did. Verse 27 says, by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So in obedience to God, Moses finally did confront the Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, no way. Right? Pharaoh said no. God then empowered Moses to unleash a series of plagues against the Egyptians. There was the plague of frogs and the plague of gnats, the plague of flies, the plague on the livestock, plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts and the plague of darkness. All of these plagues were direct challenges to the false gods worshipped by the Pharaoh. God was showing the Pharaoh through Moses that the beings that he was worshiping were false gods, that they had no power, that Pharaoh could only submit himself to the living God. That was the only way he could spare himself and his nation. Then, of course, there was that final terrible plague against the firstborn child of all in Egypt, showing that Pharaoh and his gods had no power over life and death. That was in the hands of the living God only. Well, after that final plague, the Pharaoh relented. And he allowed Moses to lead the Jewish slaves out of Egypt. Now, by this time, there were approximately 1 million Jewish slaves, the entire Jewish race. Moses led that group of people out of Egypt, began to make their way back to the promised land. As they were going, the Pharaoh changed his mind. He was not ready to accept the economic depression that would result if all of this free labor was sent out of his kingdom. And so the Pharaoh ordered soldiers to chase after the Jewish slaves to bring them back. Moses knew those soldiers were coming, but he still did not become overwhelmed with fear. He kept pressing forward. And even as he reached the bank of the Red Sea, with now water in front and soldiers behind, he did not give in to fear. God empowered Moses to split that Red Sea wide open so that all the Jewish people could walk across on dry ground and could be saved. This verse says it was by faith that Moses led the Jewish people out of Egypt. It was by faith that he carried them through even when they were being chased by the army of the world's greatest superpower. My friends, people of faith do not fear the world's wrath, or at least they don't allow their fears to control them. Now, as we look at the life of Moses, beginning with his parents and then looking down through his career, we might want to ask ourselves, how could he truly overcome the fear that these kinds of circumstances would have induced? Well, again, let's remember what fear is. Friends, fear is the feeling we get when we think we are going to lose what we most value. Fear is the feeling we get when we think we're going to lose what we most value. That means that fear is removed when our greatest value is something that we know we cannot lose. Why do people fear the loss of a good reputation or the loss of a job, the loss of wealth? Why do they fear the loss of power or even the loss of their earthly lives? Why do these things control people? Do you realize how many decisions the average person makes under the controlling power of fear? Why do these things control so many? It's because that is where their values lie. What they want most in life, the thing that they don't believe they can live without, is the money. It's the fame, the power, the applause from other people. Or perhaps just their own continued survival. That's what they care about more than anything. And so when those things are threatened, they crumble in fear. They will compromise what is right. They will do what they know is wrong. They will collapse under the weight of it all. But when you are holding on to something that you know is infinitely better than all of that kind of stuff, and that it's something that cannot be lost, fears can be removed because you know you're not going to ever have to part with what you value. Now, Moses was a man of faith. His parents were people of faith. That means that their greatest value in life was God. He is the thing that they most treasure. And knowing this God, and being known by God, and being able to love this God and know that He loves them in return, and knowing that their lives are hidden with God, that whatever should happen in their earthly life, that their spiritual life will never be harmed, that even if this life should be taken, there is a life in heaven to come. When you have the firm conviction that you are God's, that you can never be taken away from God, all of these other fears start to go away. It's not to say they never can come back up to haunt us again, but it means we have the resource we need to suppress them again, not to govern our lives and our decisions by those things. You see, people of faith do not fear because people of faith are clinging to something that is a far greater value than what they can lose and a far more enduring value than anything else. In fact, let's look through the text once more, and we can see that this is what gave courage to Moses. If we look at verse 26, second part of the verse, it says, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You see, he was able to bear the reproach of Christ, to identify with the chosen people, to accept mistreatment with them rather than the comfort of Egypt, because he was fixed on an eternal reward. He knew that God would be pleased with him and that he would have God as his portion forever and ever if he was faithful to God. That's what kept him going. Let's look also at verse 27. It says, by faith Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's God. So why was Moses not crippled by fear when he saw the armies of Pharaoh marching in behind? It's because his eyes weren't fixated on the armies. His eyes were fixated on the unseen God. He knew who this God was. He knew he was secure with this God. He knew his life was going to be fine. God had a purpose for him, and God would not let him go until that purpose was concluded. His eyes were fixed on the unseen God. And so nothing around him seemed all that big or scary. Look also at verse 28. It says, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. This is a reference to that final plague unleashed on Egypt. God warned that the firstborn of every household in Egypt was going to be killed on a certain night, but that there was a way to escape this. All you had to do was sacrifice a lamb, put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of your house, and everyone inside the house would be safe. The angel of death would pass over your house. That's why it was called Passover. Moses did not fear this plague because Moses was a man of faith. He knew God's person. He trusted God's promises. And he believed in God's provision. See, God had made provision by which his life and the lives of all of the Jews could be saved. My friends, the bottom line is that being a person of faith means you do not fear what the world fears. And that's because your heart is not set on the same things that the world's heart is set on. Your heart is set on God, the true and living God. You know that He's there. You know that you are His child. And you know that He has a purpose for your life, and nothing will happen to you outside of His purposes. You trust in God's person. You trust in God's promises to you. And you trust in God's provision. My friends, that original Passover was just a foreshadowing of the greater provision of God that we know in our time as the sacrifice of Christ on that cross. Christ was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. His blood was spilt on the cross of Calvary. This was God's provision for all of us. And when we come under the banner of Christ and His blood by faith, we know that our lives are secure in Him. We know there is nothing on earth or in hell that can harm us. We know that there is nothing to be terrified of anymore. My friends, it was their strong faith that allowed God's people to do seemingly impossible tasks We've already looked at Noah. It was by faith that he was able to build that ark and save his family from the flood. We've seen Abraham and how by faith he was able to leave his homeland, even to nearly offer his son as a burnt offering without flinching. And by faith, Moses was able to stand against the world's greatest superpower, even though he was just a shepherd from the wilderness when he was called. My friends, the same God who gave courage to these people is our God as well. He can give you courage. You don't have to be overcome by fear either. You don't have to be afraid of the loss of wealth or fame or power or comfort. We might lose those things, but who cares if we still have the most important thing, something we know cannot be taken away from us. My friends, do you want a life that is free of fear? Then you must have a life controlled by faith. How do you do that? Well, you do it the way Moses did. You fix your gaze on him, not on the other things that are swirling around you. You fill your head with God's word and you trust God's word. You pray to God often to strengthen the bond that exists between you. You see the things of the world for what they really are, mere trinkets that are here for a brief time and then they pass away, while God is forever. My friends, if you will do these things, you will no longer be paralyzed by the kinds of fears that the rest of the world has. You will fear only God, and you will fear Him in the right kind of way, as a child fears a loving father. You will be free to live for God and for no one else. My friends, would you have freedom over your fears? Become a person of faith. Let's bow together. Lord, you've given us so many examples in Hebrews 11 of faith lived out in the real world. You have shown us people who have faced circumstances that we can't even imagine, like Noah and Abraham and Moses. But Lord, we know that you are the same God that you have always been, and you impart the same spiritual resources to all people in all ages. Indeed, Lord, as a new covenant people, we have even greater resources than our forebears. So, Lord, would you help us to lean on you, lean on what you have given us to overcome fear. Pray that you would help us to be examples to the rest of our community, even the rest of our nation, of what it looks like to have wisdom, but not to have terror. Lord, we pray that you would draw many people to faith, that they might know the freedom that comes from it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.